What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Inside the Game, episode 18 here on October 18th, 2011. I'm DJ Wheat, joined by Pain User, Idra, and In Control. Guys, we've been gone, actually all of us, for quite some time. First show in October, so thanks for tuning in, and sorry we've been away for so long. We got a lot to talk about, specifically two events that took place over the course of the last 2 weeks, and even three, if we go back to the glorious event that kicked them all off. Guys, what's up? I know you're all tired, so thanks for being here. What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
What is up?
What is up?
I'm pretty tired as well. You woke me from my hibernation.
From your slumber, yeah. The beast.
From the recovery.
The yes. Recovery, man. Just straight 2 weeks of nonstop. Maybe 3 weeks of nonstop esports. It's awesome, though. And then we got BlizzCon. 2 days.
Yeah.
BlizzCon, ESWC, and Assembly, and DreamHack, and MLG Providence, and NASL.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of never ends now. Yeah, Jeff is even shaking his head almost in like a disbelief right now. Uh-huh.
It's so awesome. It's really cool. It's good for spectators. It's good for players. It's like bad for Idra and Huck, but everybody else, it's good. They have to travel all that
time. I don't need sleep. It's fine. I'm good.
Nah,
I got Monster. I don't know how you do it.
Got Monster.
All right. Nice plug, Steve. That was... That's real smooth.
And cybernetics in his head, which also helps as well.
Who are all the like film crew dudes wandering?
Oh, they're doing a documentary on the dog. It's you can go to Kickstarter now, and Kickstarter has EG's dog, the documentary. The cat,
the life of Poa.
Poa is one of the first the mammals to be born rectally, so they're doing a documentary on the science of. Struggle with that.
Oh. As she wanders by.
DJ Weed is dying. I combined poop and dogs and he loves it.
I'm sorry. It was really funny, Jeff. Holy shit.
That was pretty funny.
Holy shit, I'm embarrassed now. That was, yeah, anyway, guys, welcome. We bring together the best minds in StarCraft, and then we talk about Poa the dog that was born rectally. Well done, sir. Well done. Oh, my God. Someone's right. You did break me there for a second. So we are going to talk about the events that have gone on here for the last couple weeks. But before we do, we need to talk about what, quite frankly, could be deemed the most important news item that we've been seeing just kind of happen over the course of the last couple of weeks. And you mentioned it, Jeff, before we went on air. And I feel like I wouldn't do it justice unless I actually brought it up. And here we go. Oh, my God. Are you guys ready for it? You know what's going to be so funny is that since I probably rebooted my machine, I'm going to flip over to the desktop. But it's actually going to be black, or it's going to say something like, yeah. Yeah, see? All right. Well, let me configure it. Anyway, what you're about to see, since my joke failed now, is, of course, the new Protoss unit, allegedly. Jeff, I know you're very interested in this.
Mm. Oh, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff.
It's the Corsair, too.
Now,
they're, yeah.
They only showed the silhouette, right? But someone right. Has filled it in and kind of revealed what they believe this amazing unit will hold for the Protoss race.
There are a few theories leading out right now. One, it could be the droid carrier from Episode 1 of Star Wars, which, of course, the only way to destroy it is to accidentally land on the inside, and then which you have to accidentally fire missiles at its engine, which is exposed in the landing bay. People believe that it's a good replacement for the carrier because the carrier, it's hard to, I mean, it'll be a good replacement for the carrier because nobody uses the carrier. There are some other inspirational thought process that are going into this. It could be the Hug Mummy from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Literally a Protoss unit so capable of love that you can't actually escape its hug. And it would be very much so like a fungal growth, only you'd use an entire carrier-like ship to slow down your opponent. It could be a Cylon fighter jet, in which case those two would flutter around, dealing tremendous amounts of damage. And then here's where my heart of hearts is. In the alpha mode of StarCraft II, they actually had a Silver Surfer-like unit for Protoss, which they later did away with, and I'm hoping this is the reemergence of that. I hope this is, you know, every time they ask Dustin Browder, what does Protoss need? He's like, they need a harass unit. So this could be some kind of triple-pronged hug unit that'll...
I don't know. I think
it's boomerang around.
I think it looks pretty badass, to be honest.
What, are you going to switch to Protoss now, pain user? Just be
no,
like,
no, no, are you kidding me?
Have I
you
get seen to use the...
Have you, seen the, have you seen the linebacker unit that we have waiting for us? we have an in control that comes out of the barracks with a shield.
You already do. That's Marauders.
Hey, Huck, I like your shirt, man.
You think it's going to be like a Marauder
upgrade?
Huck is wearing
at least the Gracken shirt.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, we can't see it. We can't see it. Look at that. There it is. There it is. Huck's wearing a release the Kraken shirt.
I thought you could start till like 8:30.
No, that's the state of the game.
Oh. What time does it start at?
Like 4.
Oh. Hey, Pua!
God. Huck, get your time straight. Jesus, how can you win StarCraft tournaments for real? So I think all of those suggestions are good, Jeff.
Thank you.
Obviously, it seems like a great thing to add to... StarCraft 2. Pain user, you're excited. You're going to switch to Protoss now, seeing this unit.
Why would I want to electrocute things? I'd rather blow things up.
Alright. And Idra, you saw the, like, quote-unquote massive siege unit from the Zerg?
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that thing is.
I don't know. We'll see what range... If it has, like, if it can outrange a tank, then I'll be happy. You know?
How cool would that be?
If it could shoot into the fog of war and just cause massive siege damage.
It's like indirect damage. It just shoots everywhere constantly. And if you happen to be there, you get hit.
What if you loaded it with Banelings and it shot Banelings?
That'd be cool.
Or fucking Hydralisks,
man. That'd be awesome.
Man.
No. If you loaded Banelings into it and then it shot
Why would you want to throw a Hydralisk anywhere? They just
What do you think? Would it be like Worms, though, where you have to, like, you have to manually click its power and shit and just fire? See?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
The trajectory and shit.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Gunbound.
Exactly. It's like, woo-doo-doo. And then
it
you have to just
different kinds
plug
of
it.
Shots, like the bouncing one and the fucking, like...
Oh, I loved that game.
Yeah, Gunbound was shit, dude.
That was the only thing we did in, like, all the tech classes in high school.
See, yep. Idra would freak out if suddenly that was in the game. Be like, why did I ever question not playing Zerg? This is just wonderful.
Blizzard makes it up to me. So, all those GSLs, nope, you got this now.
This is all we know about these things, but anyway. I liked yours, Jeff.
Are we going to find out more at BlizzCon or what? What's the deal with that? I've heard.
I think they're supposed to announce.
I thought they were going to announce them at BlizzCon.
I thought they were too.
Were they? Really?
Are they?
I have no idea.
I thought so. That's what I heard.
Man,
they're gonna do it so awesome too. Why it's gonna be like a guy dressed as this thing, like a fucking walking out. Like, hi everybody, I'm the Siegelisk. And I was like,
the Siegelisk. Oh,
hey. I have range 10, strength 17 shots with area of effect damage.
And then 80-year-old Ozzy Osbourne comes out.
And I'm good at siege units. And then, like, a bunch of guys dressed as zealots come running out.
Let's display our power!
Hey, I'm the Siegelist! And it just starts shooting, like, gray-green shit out of the top of its head.
No, he starts throwing little balls at him.
Due to my light classification, I am taking double damage from this unit. But that's not all. If you hit my cooldown effect, I do extra damage to armored units too. And then, like, a stalker walks out. It's like four, like two guys. In, like, one of those terrible crab costume type things.
I will handle this from the shadows and the darkness.
And some guy in the DirecTV truck is like, this is why we charge people $40. Oh, God. All right, cats. I can't hear anymore. Yeah. Who's going to BlizzCon? Are all you guys going to BlizzCon?
Same time as ESWC.
Oh, right. In control? No.
Yes. I will not be going, but I will be attending from the interwebs, which is a great way to support esports, everyone out there. So
excellent.
Join. If they do stupid panels, maybe what I'll do, as long as, do you have to pay for the BlizzCon stream?
Yes. That's why I made the joke about this is why we charge $40 for this content. All right. So you
maybe I'll black it and like commentate over it or something like that.
What do you... Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that idea, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
Director's commentary. I'd pimp that shit, man. I like that idea.
How long is Huck going to be at the house?
I don't know.
I think a fairly long time.
Yeah, because this GSL is delayed or whatever because of BlizzCon, so he has some time.
It's a big-ass cat.
Dude, he won't leave me... Hey! The cat just totally bit me.
He bit you if you put him on the floor?
No, this other one that you guys actually can't see on camera. Looks really
is that the one that just hides off? I've never seen it on camera, I don't think.
He's doing a show. Let's attack him.
I'm trying to coax him on so you can see the other esports cat, but he won't come. You're not as cool as Poa, man. You never get your own documentary.
Good.
All right.
Oh, and to seriously answer that, we have the WoW team here that's being filmed for BlizzCon, but then we also have a award-winning Canadian documentary team here filming EG as well.
So is it just almost, I mean, be honest with me, is it kind of annoying in control? Having all this cameras?
I'm actually used to it. Other guys might get annoyed by it, but I've been in a few scenarios where there's just cameras all over the frickin' place, so.
Yeah, what about you, Greg?
The documentary team's really good about it. They're like, if they do anything that could be at all annoying, they ask permission, is this okay, and, you know. So no, it's fine.
I'm a little bit put off by the inner toilet cameras. I'm not sure what...
those are my favorite ones. It lets me get shots of Huck. Yeah.
They're going for like a whole like Requiem of a Dream weird montage to cut between scenes, but it'll have like poop dropping and pee. It's like weird psychedelic experience.
The Requiem for a Dream montages are awesome.
Well, what about you, Pain User? What do you think of all the document... Oh...
Ouch, sweet.
Actually, actually, to kick it off, in all fairness, Pain User, I saw so much Pain User during IPL3, man. You had like commercials and the Gordon Hayward stuff, and they did the cool caster montages. And Apollo and I were like looking at each other going, those are fucking awesome. We didn't get one of those, like, and then we were all QQ, but they were sweet. I mean, they did a good job over there with all that shit.
Thanks, man. We work on that shit all the time. Like, when we're not casting, we're helping develop the web shows and work on all that kind of stuff. So that's what we spend a lot of time on.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump into our first topic then here tonight, fellas, as I know we've just kind of, like, pissed away 20 minutes, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we're accumulating viewers, hanging out.
Sure. You know, that's all good. But IPL3 and MLG Orlando, the two back-to-back events. We could go back and talk about China, but I think if we open up the phone lines...
That sounds like a pretty good idea.
What? You want to go back and talk about China?
He's being silly because he won that tournament.
I know he is. But you know what's going to happen is I know we're going to get questions about it when we open the phone lines. But fuck it. Let's do it. Why don't we just skip everything except for Idra winning?
I like that. I can deal with that.
Let's talk about, seriously, though, especially considering how, you know, your performance has been up to that. Probably not what you'd like it to be, right?
Not quite, yeah.
And then you win this tournament. So what changed?
Honestly, the only thing, I didn't feel like I was playing a ton better. I mean, there were little things that changed, like stylistically and stuff. But no, I said on the state of the game at IPL, our manager, actually, Alex Garfield, not manager, owner, Just had a conversation with about mindset and, you know, sports psychology kind of stuff. And I was aware of all of it, but just kind of pulled it into focus. And then they actually assigned us all a book that our Counter-Strike team had read this book on the plane to some event, and then they won that event. And so our management has assigned it all to all of us to read the same book. And I read that the day before, and then I won I Am China. So just kind of pulled a bunch of things into focus, and I started thinking more about that than how I was playing and all that.
Do you want to talk about the book, or do you feel like it might be giving away an EG secret?
Trade secret, I'm sorry. Okay. Can't do that.
Even though I think you guys mentioned it either at that live LO3 or something.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I guess they'll have to dig for that.
I think you did.
But no, that'll make it better. Go watch the VOD. There you go.
That was fun. It was just me and Chris messing around, Stefano not talking, so people should watch anyway.
Yeah. And
small correction, though. Because what? Slasher is in attendance. It wasn't state of the game, it was live on 3, but you broke his little heart just a moment ago.
It was.
It's the other show.
I was thinking of
it's okay, man.
I was actually thinking of the Q&A we did, too, so it was like wrong in 3 different ways.
The comparison is so deep that at least 3 guys called me JP at MLG Orlando.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, the Muslim gets called Huck, actually.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
really?
The Muslim's been asked if he's Huck a few times. And he's actually like, you know, Huck, or the Muslim's a pretty famous player, so it's like it's the sharpest stab right into his ribs each time. It's like, he's like, hey, Huck, can I get your autograph? He's like, no, love, I'm the Muslim. And they're like, you're who? Oh, God.
Cheers.
Americans.
Yeah, so anyway, IPL 3. Let's keep going with China, actually, before we go. Because I wanted to ask one other question transitioning into IPL3. Winning that event and knowing that you were going to have to then fly and play another one, how did you think you were going to do at IPL3?
I didn't really know. Normally I would feel a lot better because wins build on wins. Like, you get more confident, you play more comfortably, and it's good and all. But I actually flew in like midnight the night before. Yeah, I got to the venue the night before the first matches, and I was falling asleep in my booth before the game versus White Ross, so I knew I was not in any kind of good condition. So, I mean, it wasn't good, but it was okay. I didn't have much expectations going into it. My schedule was just, that was a little bit too much. But you can't really say no to either event. I mean, it's IEM and IPL.
I can definitely attest to Greg passing out backstage for his games with White Ross.
You came in and interrupted my nap.
I came in and I was like, "Greg, you need a Red Bull, bro. you don't look so good." And then he was like, "You know,"
and he said, "No, I need all my
group play matches.
Red Bull is terrible. Give me a Monster." And then he took a Monster
and drank it.
He actually said he was going to forfeit all of his group play matches if he lost.
Did that like worry you at all from a fan perspective, or was it just like I just have to do what I need to do to make sure that I'm going to be?
I mean, the groups it was for money, but otherwise it wasn't that important, and it was obviously my best interest to try and get some sleep before the real tournament started. So yeah, I figure my fans are going to be much more happy if I then go ahead and beat Artist and Thorzane in pretty good games instead of trying to stay up and play shitty games in a relatively meaningless point in the tournament. So it was a pretty easy decision at that point.
And just out of curiosity, you won, I believe, 3,000 at IPL3. Is that right?
Yeah.
And how much did you win at MLG?
1,400.
And what were you the same place?
No, MLG I was 4th. IPL, I was top 8.
Okay. And then how much did you win in China?
6,500.
Okay, so you had a nice little... You had a nice month. Iter had a good month.
Only 3 weeks so far. I got ESWC next, and that's 26 grand for first, so could get quite a bit better.
And you're going to have it be quite a bit better, aren't you?
That's the plan.
All right. Word. I want to hear from paying users' perspective here. Obviously, works for IGN. Was a part of making that happen, worked hard throughout the event.
Before we move on from that, yes. I'd like to point out that at IPL I beat Artist and Thorzane and got 3,000. And at MLG I beat Boxer, Hongmen, and Bomber, and then went 1-2 against MC and got 1,400. So, fucking MLG.
We'll get to that, Greg.
I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead.
Okay. No, no, no. It's good. And make sure we do get to that. You know, it's still on the plate. So, Pain User, congrats, guys. You know, from a caster perspective and a fan perspective and what I saw on the internet and all of the criticism, you know, I'd say that IGN pretty much knocked it out of the park, man.
Yeah, we're all super happy about it, for sure. I think we did a really good job. Tough working with the union in Jersey, man. Union workers are crazy. I had no idea going into it, but...
Yeah, it's like...
Anyway, what's the overall question? But I know it was a great success. It was awesome. We had a great time doing it.
Well, I mean, ask you specific questions? I'd love to hear just, like, your results. Like, for you, what was, you know, when you think back on IPL3, like, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
For me, it's great being in front of a live audience. I really enjoy it. It's super cool interacting with the fans and, like, hyping people up and then, also, just getting a chance to finally cast at my first major event. I mean, that was my first major. And there was a lot of money on the line, and there was a lot riding on the line for all of us that were casting. So, I felt like I did a pretty good job. I was pretty confident going into it, and I loved it, man. It was awesome. I can't wait for future IPLs. I wouldn't even mind, you know, casting for other events and stuff and doing cross promotion. But we'll have to see if that's on cards in the future.
Right. As far as the competition and the format and all that stuff, and, you know, you've obviously been a player in an event. Now you've gotten a chance to sort of organize and be a commentator in an event. Like, how do you feel like that'll win for you on the other side?
Well, we were all about taking care of the players. Like, we were making sure all the players had food. We were making sure everybody was set up properly. And, you know, my story about the union workers actually kind of, like, goes back to that. You know how Chef... He plays with his keyboard on his lap.
Right. Yeah.
So the desks, the way they were set up, Chef actually couldn't play with his keyboard in his lap. So he was freaking out for a little bit because he had to play MMA on stage. So we had two guys run backstage real quick and grab like a little miniature desk for him. We changed out the whole booth setup in like 20 minutes. We redid the entire booth for him. We brought in a new desk. And then all of a sudden these two Jersey union workers come running out, screaming at us, saying that you can't move anything without union labor doing it. And my mic is picking them up on stage. Like, I'm broadcasting on stage, and my mic's picking this guy up, screaming backstage. And you know Chef. He's the nicest guy in the world. Chef is freaking out. Like, shaking, and doesn't know what to do. And this guy's screaming at him because he moved a table. But, I mean, that's really what we were trying to do. We were trying to make sure that all the players were 100% happy with the whole situation, taken care of, had food. And the prize pool also goes behind that ideology. We want to make sure all the players get paid. And, you know, hopefully the next event's even bigger. The one thing that kind of sucked for us, well, obviously the truck running into the fiber optic cable didn't really help things out at all.
Yeah, that kind of sucked.
And then also the venue and 21 Plus. I mean, it was an hour from the nearest major airport. 21 Plus definitely hurt viewership. There's no doubt about that. That's something
you mean. But no, you mean audience.
Oh yeah, audience. Not internet viewership. I think we did great on the stream from a viewership standpoint. I'm not sure. I wasn't able to really check it that much throughout the event.
I'd say by the finals day, the live audience was actually, you know, it was cool.
I think for the finals it was pretty much full. But no, having disallowing people under 21 for an esports event, I thought that was pretty silly.
Yeah, and
they're going to have the next one at casinos, too. I mean, Vegas doesn't have that law, so under 21 can go, but it's still kind of an odd venue for something that's so teenage-oriented.
You know, I agree with you, Idra, although I think the biggest problem was the airport, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I do too.
It's really kind of, like, the whole concept of that is just kind of fucking wacky, you know, and... I mean, it's like no fault of the IPL or the casino or anyone. It's just, you know, lay of the land. But
I think it was more like we struck a deal with, you know, Bally's.
Sure. I would love to see what would happen in Vegas. Because there's a part of me that thinks that shit would be off the hook. Like an event there now with StarCraft II in Vegas. I just, I think it would be ridiculous. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, I just think it cuts into a big percentage of your viewership, because even when people under 21 are allowed to come, you think about like a 16-year-old telling his mom, you know, I want to go on a trip to Vegas. They're not going to say yes to that.
I don't know, but how much percentage are you actually cutting out, Idra? Like, I mean...
I think we have a lot of viewers who are like 14 to 20. Yeah. I mean, it's a gaming competition. Gaming is pretty big with teenagers.
I mean, you're right, but... I thought, I don't know, maybe my skew of what the average age of these people, I mean, I don't know, when I see these guys that are like, yeah, I traveled from here and, you know, like, they're all, I'm 24, I'm 23, I feel like I hear that age more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between people that watch and people that travel. People that watch probably are mostly teenage people, you know, sub 21, or at least a large percentage of them are, but if you're talking about people who would travel to an event, that takes, you know, that takes means to get there, and a lot of people need to have a pretty solid job to do that, so they're usually a little bit older. I think Atlantic City is a bit odd because it's a little bit inland on the East Coast, and it's very high up north. So we definitely had people coming out of New York, which is a pretty good population for the event, but I don't know, I think more central locations, you're just going to get people looking at that and saying, I can make that trip, it's 4 hours, as opposed to people who are like, that's 8 hours, you know. And also, it's IPL's first time. People don't know how well it was going to, you know, they didn't know how well it was going to go. If it ends up being one of those things where they can't get off the ground and it's really struggling out the door, people don't want to say, well, I paid $2,000 to be there, you know. Even the NESL had a lot of people that took a risk to go because of the novelty of it being the first kind of grassroots league to spring up. IPL is the second one, so it didn't have that novelty as far as I'm concerned, but I hope we get to talk more about it, because I don't want to just talk about the age restriction.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty amazing event. Like, in terms of player management, only the DreamHack Invitationals have come close, and they just have 8 people, so it was really pretty incredible how well IPL took care of us. They had just a ton of staff who was entirely devoted to taking care of the players, making sure you were where you had to be, and you had anything you wanted, and just everything was going smoothly for you. It was really, really good in that respect.
Now, let's talk about the difference between the, you know, they had the invites there, and then, of course, they had the open brackets, so there were these separate areas, and they were, you know, they were a good distance from one another. You had the main theater, but then you had this other room that did panels, and it also did some other matches, and then actually where players played in a player's lounge. How'd you guys feel about that being sort of like as far as it was? Did you mind it? Do you think it hurt anything? Like, what are your general opinions on that? So, yeah, I think everyone understands.
It was slightly annoying, but not a big deal at all. The distance.
Okay.
And it didn't affect a lot of players. Well, it only affected people who made it into the championship bracket or win the pool play. So it's not like you had the entire open bracket migrating every couple of hours.
Right.
And like I said, they had people guiding us where we wanted to go. So if you didn't know how to get there or you needed your handheld, they had someone to do that. It wasn't a big deal at all.
It was manageable for an event, but I, you know, if I was sitting in a boardroom with the IPL staff talking about what to improve upon for the next event,
yeah,
I think the closer those two arenas are together, the better the experience. Nobody wants to be like, well, this match is going on now, and when it ends, I'll get to see halfway through the next really exciting match, which is a 20-minute walk away. It's not like anyone was complaining about the exercise, but not being able to see matches and kind of alienating the two audiences to different areas, that is just not really wise. So I think hopefully it's a learning experience, and also it's a logistical thing, obviously. It's not like every venue is perfect, but hopefully they improve upon that one.
Yeah, I think it kind of created like these two different audiences, right? You have people that want to sit behind the players and interact with them, kind of similar to an MLG style. And then you have people who just want to chill in Circus Maximus and actually watch and get the whole theater aspect of it. And it kind of split it into two different venues. It's a whole slew of people that are wandering back and forth between the two venues, right. and they're in a casino. So they're getting caught up doing all kinds of other stuff as well. I mean, there's all kinds of different entertainment options. So I feel like it definitely hurt the live viewership, at least in the main stage. And I think next time, We've already talked about it. The simplest changes next time, way bigger monitors in Circus Maximus, the people
right,
in the back.
Right.
The,
oh, yeah.
That's they great. That's bigger. Great because that was like one of my biggest complaints, and I don't even think that's that big, you know?
And that was the first thing when like a few of the players actually walked in, you know, like me and Thickness, and he was the main stage manager, and a couple of us. As soon as we got there, we walked into Circus Maximus, and we were like, oh, my God, we need to double the size of these. And hopefully next time when we're choosing the venue, I think sending like somebody with competitive experience out there to help with the venue, make sure that the qualifier stage is actually right next to the main stage, both are connected. Like, these are all things that we're talking about and we're working on. So hopefully next time it'll be better. But I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it for the first event. It's a lot of fun.
You guys got to give me a minute to even rant and rave about it. Like, let me do that now.
Do okay. It, Jeff.
Go for it.
IPL was absolutely amazing. And one of the comments that kind of rings true with me is that David Ting said that he had looked at the previous events, the IEMs, the DreamHacks, the MLGs, and he had picked and choose the aspects he liked and wanted to emulate, and then certainly he had innovated on his own ideas and what to improve. And I think it's pretty amazing for IPL to come out and in their first event have the best booths I think StarCraft has ever seen. That's OSL, MSL, GSL, MLG, NESL, anybody. Those are the best booths I've ever seen.
Can you, because you've been in them. I've been in the MLG booth. I thought it was really good. I actually didn't really go into the IPL booth. In fact, I saw the little iPod shuffles that were doing the white noise, and I was like, oh, my God, is that comfortable for them? Like, does that stretch far? So tell me what it was all about.
They were spacious. They were sound canceling, obviously, but yeah, for me as a spectator, you could see the lighting of the players was really, really professional grade. It looked epic as shit when it showed the little player cameras. Like, it started to invoke that feeling I got from watching old Brood War matches where, you know, they'd zoom in on the player and it was right there. And it was just really intense and amazing. The overall production in general was just amazing. The stage was one of the best I think I've ever seen. Having the commentators right there above the players, kind of on a raised platform like that, was really, really cool. And on a production level, there's nobody that compares. IPL beats out everybody in that.
I just want to agree that being on the stage and being able to interact with the audience, like, I mean, I know that's not really traditional in the sense of, you know, commentating and whatnot, but it totally made up for the fact that there were maybe less people at IPL 3. Well, there were definitely less people at IPL 3 than at like an MLG event.
Yeah, of course.
Because the energy in the room was like almost personal, and it was very interesting in that regard. I really would like to see more events do that. I think it adds a lot to it. It made it a show, like a solid show, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's all about the viewer experience. You have a seat, you're in a theater, you're in a concert hall, actually, and there's more than enough seats for everybody. You're not... Like, prime example, here's a prime example. Most of Czech Six, we didn't even go to the semifinals or the finals for MLG, because we knew there wasn't a single place for us to sit. We knew the side aisles were going to be completely packed, and we were going to be off in the boonies in Timbuktu, sitting cross-legged, trying to watch the monitors from a million miles away. So we just stayed in, and we watched the stream on our laptop, because there's nowhere to sit. There's nowhere to watch it and enjoy it. And, yeah, you miss the roar of the crowd. You miss all that excitement, but, I mean, there's no comfort level there. And I understand they're trying to get really good crowd shots. They want it to be packed. They want to show that intensity. They want it to look like it's overcrowded, overflowing. But, I mean, it just sucks as a spectator and somebody who loves the game. It's just frustrating.
Are you anti-sleep?
Go ahead.
Go spaces. You're going to have to... I'm going to be going on for a while, man.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
The IPL live cruise, that, as far as I'm concerned, innovated. I mean, it's just the innovation there and what they did with that is brilliant. I mean, we've seen that kind of stuff a little bit with Josh in MLG. NESL had Lindsay Spore doing the same kind of thing, but IPL had three or four crews, like absolute crews with separate streams, moving around, producing constant content, interacting with the fans, the people, the players, everyone involved. It's like watching IPL, and they, what do they charge, $7 or something stupid like that? They should have charged $700. You get so much content out of that. You experience the entire event. And the three lovely ladies, or four, I can't remember which it was, that did that, they did a fantastic job. But really, it was IPL that... I mean, that takes resources. It's not like every league can do that, to put a wireless stream moving around with a camera crew and a hostess. That's insane. But they were committed to it, and I thought it did a lot for the event. Like, how, they had the best emergency handling of any event ever, right? Like, their entire internet went down. The entire effing internet. And people were able to kind of rally around and respond and do different things, and content was still coming out of that event. And they kept their head cool. It was pretty amazing. And, you know, overall with IPL, like, the next one that comes out, I would absolutely encourage everyone to go. It's the best production in esports. It's got some of the most cool and exciting things going on. And then I'll get on my soapbox here real quick, too. I think it's the best thing for esports. Now, not necessarily IPL alone, but IPL going to war with MLG is the best Christmas for a kid with two divorced parents you could ever ask for. They're going to gift us with an arms race of awesome, where each event is they're going to try to raise the bar over each other. And if I could say so myself, preliminary thoughts are that IPL is the one that MLG has to catch up to in terms of production and the event they put on.
All right, well, let me then what I was jotting down there so I made sure not to forget it. You said, you know, the best Christmas between two divorced parents, right? And I agree with you. I happen to be in a unique situation where obviously I've cast it for IPL3 and now I've cast it for MLG. And, you know, frankly, I don't have really – I have an allegiance to both and a loyalty to both because they are growing esports. But it's not like I can even begin to compare one over the other. But at the same time, I think that the statement you make, do you think that, like, how do you think they see it? Control. You know, how do you think they see that this? Because they see it as competition, and obviously, yes, it's great for us, but at the same time,
well, of their corporations, they're trying to make money. They're running a business. Oh, it's competition. Of course.
It's just that it would be better for them. Well, actually, to some extent, because it brings in more viewership that you can then kind of try to steal, but no, it makes life harder on them. MLG now gets shit for not having as big of a prize pool and not having the same kind of broadcasting and all that.
As they should. Great.
No, it's great for viewers and players and spectators. It just makes it harder for the organizations, which is a good thing for everyone except them.
Yeah, it definitely is. What certainly makes it harder for the top dog.
Well, the problem is that, you know, we are the goldfish generation because we can't forget the fact that MLG has had their little victories as well. And a lot of times it just like the one event, kind of like what both of you guys said in terms of competition, is that once one one-ups the other, it's like, this is it, the best thing that's ever. But they do often forget about some of the great things that led us to the ideas that are now implemented here. You know, I would even go so far as to say that, you know, look at MLG, and I'm not necessarily, we might do some flip-flopping here, but one of the things I was really impressed with MLG was them implementing the quad split technology. Because I think they actually gave the first super duper legitimate like application to that with really the amount of games they were showing. I know that there is still a lot of different stuff that was offered from IPL, but there were guys that were like, seriously, the amount of raw StarCraft that was ingested was absolutely fucking insane. I saw what those guys were doing, and that shit was sick.
The player cams are awesome. We decided early on that that's like 100% necessary because for me, I almost prefer to just watch the player cams all the time and toggle between both of them and hear the commentary over it. I mean, that to me is much more enjoyable than having, you know, HD or tasteless spectating the match. clicking all over the place.
Pain User, I was actually commenting on MLG's quad view. I loved what you guys did with the player views, but I did have one problem, is I think they should have been clones of the fucking players' computers, man.
Straight up clones?
No, like the player cams from IPL 3 were actually...
First-person view shots?
They were first-person spectator.
Okay.
Right? And they would have been... They would have been 100%... Probably one of the greatest things ever if they would have been the actual clone of the player's view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. For me, the MLG ones made them look like siege tank drivers.
Look like what? Like,
no, we're not talking about that.
Siege tank drivers.
You're like 17 seconds behind every one of these comments, dude.
Player cams, like the player view, like seeing what the player sees as they play, first person view.
This one is IPL. On IPL's one, they had cameras of the player's screen. This one is MLG, where they had tank pictures of people. Separate things.
What?
That didn't help me at all.
You lost me now. No, I'm talking about when I said the quad view, I'm talking about the fact that...
What are we going to do?
What's going on?
You talked about tank drivers. I know the quad view. The quad view is the MLG stream option to watch four separate streams on one screen.
Correct.
Oh, okay. So it's like the Warp Prism emulator.
Yes, exactly. But what I'm saying is that, like, before, it was just kind of a cool technology, and MLG said, sweet, we're going to take this and we're going to fill that shit with insane amounts of content. You know, like, one of the biggest complaints that ever had, like, any esports event from the beginning of fucking time that's covered is like, oh, I'm really happy with what we saw, but there were like 30 other games that we didn't see. And the fact that they basically quadrupled the amount of games able to be shown was really, really awesome. But anyway, let's finish up with IPL 3. I want to talk a little bit about what you guys thought about Stefano. Idra, reserve player.
He's good. His early game is ridiculous. Like, he has defensive timings down to a T on stuff like you don't normally see. I think that's the most impressive part of his play.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good. And I think his biggest strength going through that tournament was really just he has a little bit of an offbeat style. He, like, purposely doesn't interact with the community and doesn't watch other people's games and stuff and just figures stuff out on his own, which makes him unique. And so when you combine the level of skill that he does have plus a unique style, it's really, really powerful. But then you see someone like Boxer, who may not be the greatest player, but he really thinks while he plays. He, like, figures shit out, and he's not worried about trying to counter someone's style. He'll just do what he thinks will win. And then he makes Marauders, and he beats Stefano. So there's definite holes in his play, and I think his style carried him, but it's not going to last for long. He's going to be a good player, but he's not going to be, like, dominating.
In line with that, then do you think, like, one of his weaknesses will be people will figure him out?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you kind of already saw it happen in the Boxer match. Not so much in the SDC games. That was just kind of SDC using abusive builds and Stefano making some mistakes. But yeah, in the Boxer series, I think you're going to see a lot more of that kind of thing coming, unless he manages to switch it up.
Interesting. Okay. Pain User, you commentated the finals match. What do you think?
Obviously his DBZ is really impressive. He has all of his timings down super solid. He had one build order win, I think, when he kind of rolled the dice in game one and went 11 full against the 15 hash, but still came out on top after that. So, yeah, I mean, he's a really solid, really good all-around player, and I've had the chance to spend a lot of time with him. He actually crashed in our room at MLG, and I was talking with him, like, all night, and he's a really mature 18-year-old, that's for sure. And I kind of agree with what Greg says. He kind of stays out of the limelight, doesn't really like interacting with everybody. He's a man of very few words.
Yeah, he is.
But you can
tell.
He
likes to observe, but he's pretty he's not like, you know.
You can tell even when he's not talking, when he's listening to people, he's really listening to what you're saying. He's very critical of everything that people say. It's almost like he's trying to judge whether or not you're intelligent or retarded every time you speak.
No, he's not trying to. He just knows everyone's retarded, and so he doesn't want to talk to him.
Well, there you go. That
too. At first I thought he was just kind of shy, but I'm pretty sure he actually just thinks everyone else is, like, not good enough to talk to. And, like, I like him, but he's really arrogant. I can appreciate it.
It's very true. It's very true, actually.
He's hilarious.
I agree
yes,
with her.
Yes, he is.
At 100%. He's really funny.
He is hilarious.
He's accidental hilarious, though, is the funny part. Like,
Arnold
I'm completely okay with laughing at him in a situation where normally what he said is what you'd be laughing with him because it's so sarcastic. But then he looks at you, and you're like, inside you're like, holy shit, he's being serious. It's so funny. I was goofing around with him at MLG because he just instantly made me a fan at IPL with his play, but also interacting with him on the panel. I mean, somebody flat out was like, some kind of question from an audience and fan member? And he goes, that's a stupid question. Yeah. And everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. And we look at him and he's like,
you see that laugh.
It's a stupid question. We're all like, oh, Stefano, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You have to be an asshole privately. He's just awesome. He's genuine, that's for damn sure.
Yeah,
when he says something, you're not getting any kind of sponsorship thing. You're not getting any sarcasm. He just straight up will tell you what he thinks, even if it's wrong or socially awkward.
Word. Yeah.
I like him.
I like him too, and I kind of like his play. But Idr, I could see where what you're saying could be true. I think that it's something that obviously will be answered in time, because of course, people could probably. I don't know. Is he capable of figuring it out?
Oh, certainly. But like I said, that was his big strength going in. He had a unique style that was pretty solid, and that he really had really well figured out. And when he loses that advantage, he's just, like I said, he's going to be good, but he's not going to be great.
Well,
I don't think he's...
No, I got another question for you, because it's actually in sort of in relation to the event you did before. But one of the things Stefano said going into MLG was that he thought he was going to do worse because the frequency in which you were playing matches at IPL versus MLG allowed him to sort of, you know, always be at his best when he was playing a match. And you kind of suffered that a little bit at MLG when it was like, okay, play, okay, play, okay, play, okay, play on that last day.
No, I wasn't fatigued at all. I just not as good as CVP.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask
I still felt like you. I still felt like I was playing my best in the matches versus MC.
Awesome.
Like, if it had been a Terran, if I had played Bomber again, I would have felt like I would have done just as well again.
Right on. Okay. Excellent. Any final thoughts about IPL3? I look forward to the next event. Good on them. They did a great job. Congratulate all of them over there. And I'm with Jeff, you know, healthy competition. I think it's great. So
I'll be sure and let everybody out the office know. I appreciate the thoughts.
Yeah.
Constructive criticism as well is always appreciated, so we'll try and work on it and make
it
sure next time.
Yeah, one note on constructive criticism.
Here comes the fucking jackhammer.
Nah, I got nothing. I was going to make a joke, but
okay.
I can't do that too many times, actually, because there's the one guy that won't take it as a joke.
Okay. Alright, I see you're going to make fun of me. It's okay. You can tell me later. Tell me later, man. It's all good.
I'm just not comfortable with Wheat commentating for both MLG and IPL. I need you to pick one, Wheat. Okay? I turn on IPL, there with Wheat. Turn on MLG, there with Wheat too. Okay? Don't see John Madden commentating for every channel. Just saying. If you want, you're killing esports.
Oh my god.
What's up, bitches? What's up, bitches?
Yeah. Quiet, Jeff. All right, let's talk about MLG Orlando then. And a venue in which alligators and turtles coexisted in the same area.
Jesus,
it kind of blew my mind a little bit.
I saw a turtle chasing an alligator.
Did you?
And he caught him. Nothing happened.
Really? They were like brothers and sisters. It's like Milo and Otis, man. That's awesome. What is so funny? All right.
I think it was freaking hilarious because I was there with Anna and her friend, the Muslim's girlfriend, Abby, and Yost is like, there's alligators here. And I'm like, no, there's not alligators here. That's stupid. Because every stream you walk by is, like, a foot off the path. So
Wait. Did this happen right when you got there?
Yeah.
Okay, in control, when I got there, the first thing that Rhett said to me was, they got alligators in there.
There's alligators here.
Oh, my God. All right, so keep going.
Fucking alligators. So Abby's like, I can't believe it. I forgot. And I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're getting trolled. And she's like, no, there's alligators. I'm like, no, you're getting trolled. Sure enough, like day two, someone's like, come, I'll show you the alligators. So I followed. It was like Greg, me, Bryce, and I guess Yost probably took us to him. He's like the alligator keeper of MLG. He like communed with him, starts swimming and shit. But we go over, and sure enough, they have the world's smallest alligators, just 30,000 of them all lined up in a row. They're all just chilling. And the most random thing in the world is this coexisting society of turtle / alligator. They're going to make their first, like, there's going to be
a bird there.
Alligator is going to walk out of there with a turtle shell on its back. It'll be called, like, a turtle gator. Turgator.
Turgator?
A three gator. Like a three gator. But it's pretty cool. That place is awesome. Gaylord Hotels, by the way. If you can get past the, like, 15-year-old inclination to laugh at the name.
The Gaylord Palms.
Oh, God. So many foreigners. Like, we have this Chilean guy on our team who's like, wait, so it's the Lord of the Gays? We're like, no. It's his name. Like, he probably owns the chain. I don't understand.
Just four more years, guys. Four more years until they change the name of those resorts. Crust. They're just going to be. We are now the Jefferson Resorts. It's just something to even more bland, actually. But it's a bit pricey. You know, we kind of talked.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about the whole. See, I felt like even at a venue like Atlantic City, or even MLG's been at a few venues that have been a little bit different. But when you are at those venues, I feel like I spend about five times as much as I would like to on things like food. It's nice to have a place where you can dine that's great. That's awesome. But I kind of want a fucking Subway that I can get in 2 minutes and eat in three.
Yeah,
MLG is always terrible about food, though. Like, you bring in the event, and there never seems to be anything decent close. And
it would be nice, yeah, because you can't bring it inside. It really, really, really would be nice to have some food.
Bring food inside, though, it'd be a total shit show.
So
many kids in there. That would.
Well, they used to like give away Hot Pockets inside.
Exactly, that's true. My theory. Is they ran events based on the least amount of accessible food possible, and then what they did is they had Hot Pockets everywhere. So these nerds, they're all hopped up on Dr. Pepper, and they're chewing their Stride gum.
Conspiracy.
I need food, and they'd look up on their iPhone, and go, where's food? 10 minutes, 20 minutes, can't do it. And then all of a sudden, there's this oddly attractive girl in a little skirt who says, would you like a Hot Pocket? And he goes, you know what, young lady? I'll have a Hot Pocket. And that's where it starts. You get hooked. You have one Hot Pocket? No, you got to have like 17. Then before you know it, you're shitting your own blood.
You're shitting your own blood. Hot Pocket. Oh, no, I think they're pretty good. But, anyway, enough about the food. Every venue I've ever been to is bad food. We won't even begin to talk about some of the European events. Let's talk a little bit about, just about the crowd was amazing as usual. They had more casters, so I got a little bit more rotation in there. I love that.
That was hilarious, though. God.
I think that, I think that overall MLG has another good event. I'm not, other than the quad stream, the experience they delivered at home, I'm not sure necessarily what they did directly to counteract with, say, IPL3, although I know they did a lot of interviews, and we did see a few of those throughout the week. They did have some, like, top 10 stuff that they interjected into there, which is really, really good as well. But all in all, I just thought it was solid, and that's the one thing that MLG consistently delivers is I guess, consistency. They always seem to throw a phenomenal event, at least so far with StarCraft II. So what do you guys think?
MLG has a burden. I think they got in early, and they put on a show, and they, in my mind, have replaced WCG for the North American scene as, like, the tournament that you get hyped up and excited about. They had literally hundreds of bars across the planet filled to the brim with fans and people being raucous, and it was on Sunday, you know, so people were actually choosing StarCraft II over football across the North American continent, which is freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's what's up.
But they have, I mean, they've got this burden. Like, 2011, they've outgrown, like, the fandom and the prestige of this tournament has outgrown their production. That's not to say it's bad production, because it is not. They're doing a great job. But I'll tell you what, Sundance keeps talking about 2012 and how things are going to blow up. They have to. And that's not like a weird, ominous threat, because everyone's going to go. Everyone's going to love MLG, myself included. But I want them to grow with StarCraft II, because if we're going to have StarCraft II on ESPN just the way DJ Wheat wants it, because he's so into that, if we're going to have StarCraft II being played in a soccer stadium in Gandhi, or in Ghana, it's just my actual dream. We need MLG to carry that flag, man. They're the tournament to do it right now.
It's actually kind of silly, like, the prestige and the hype and the excitement around MLG relative to some of the other features of it. Like,
$5,000.
Yeah. The prize money, like, you get your name called out twice and get walked over if you don't show up, and there's no food. And the practice area is four computers that you can only get into if you have pool play. And
yep.
They don't take care of the players, and they do have a lot of players. Their open bracket is massive, and IPL didn't have that, and IPL didn't take care of the open bracket players as well as the seeded ones. So it's not night and day, but MLG just doesn't put as much effort in that kind of thing. And then the prize money is just, like, a tournament with MC and MMA or Marine King and Bomber, all the top Korean players, all the top North American players, whatever top Europeans can get flown in, for $5,000, and it drops off quick, and it's just $14,000 an event. That's less than the first place for ESWC, which is just a random one-off thing that, like, no one ever pays attention to. It's terrible.
I mean, but it's a fixable problem.
It is.
Of course.
Right?
Like, it's immediately fixable, though.
Yeah. That's
I don't know that it is.
It's been fixable for...
I don't know that it is.
Every season.
I really don't know that it is. From an esports perspective, MLG does something a little bit different, where they are likely dealing with money that is to be allocated over several events. And
they
so
have a budget.
What's exactly right? So they can do this. You know, they have to make it last over all of these events, you know? And I mean, the way that that's worked for them in the past has been great and not a problem at all. So, one thing is to be considered is that if they could prove something, which is to, like, sponsors, etc., and these types of things, then they would be able to, you know, get more money to allocate
season. If they massively up everything next year, then all those complaints will go out the window. You can't really expect them to revamp everything within the middle of the season when they do have budgeting stuff, like you said. But I think some of the problems could have been fixed immediately. I'm not really sure. Because they have made improvements every
event. I think they did.
Like,
I think they did, actually, Idra. I think that it's probably their stat truck. I think that if had, like, they not had to... And I don't know, but it's my understanding that this might be a pretty costly thing. But you know what? It will ensure them. It will ensure them that everyone will always be able to fucking watch their event. And that might be the most important thing, you know?
Yes.
So, unfortunately, that is kind of a sacrifice.
There's two ways to look at it. I think the fact that they can just go out, they had one terrible event, and then they can go out and decide to drop however much money on that immediately and fix that problem. But then they can't get another 10, 20,000, whatever, the prize pool, or to find staff to take care of players, or to have a few extra computers to practice on. Maybe those satellite trucks just took up every last cent of the emergency budget,
Well,
or...
you know, I mean, to be fair, let's think about logistics a little bit more. And again, I'm not necessarily defending. I just think it's important that people, at least that we understand, we look at it from every perspective, right? So, you know, another thing to consider is that, as far as I know it, these are my perceptions as well. I do not work, nor do I truly know the details of MLG. This is simply from my, you know, perspective, right? They have to transport their events around basically the U.S. to throw them. Certainly not easy when you're... Thanks, Ikutro. So let's just say they put together their fleet of trucks, right? And it travels from event to event to event. It unloads. It sets itself up. And then it wraps itself up. And then it goes to the next city. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am sure for a fact, Idra, that every single suggestion that you just made is something that they would love to implement immediately.
Oh, no. They're aware of the problems. Like, we've talked to them about it. They know all this stuff. And they want to fix it. It's just... It feels like there's some of the things that they definitely could have if they felt the need was great enough. But they realize, you know, we're bringing in all the top players. We're still getting top viewership. Fuck it. Let's wait till next year.
Well,
I just get that impression. I think there's definitely some things that they could fix if they really wanted to.
Fair enough.
I agree. I think we've been discussing this as players since.
And you guys give a player's perspective. So, go ahead, Pain User.
I mean, I agree. I feel like we've been discussing a lot of these same issues since, you know, Raleigh last year. It's been a problem since day one. And, you know, the event's grown. The fans have grown. The viewership has grown. And it seems like, you know, the venues have stayed the same. The seating has stayed the same. Prize pool has stayed the same. I mean, you know, where are the active changes to make things better? Where's the active support?
Squeeze its head.
Because I think you can make decisions on the fly as a corporation, budget or no budget. You can certainly make on the fly decisions to make things better. I think consistent improvement is not something that they should forget about. I don't understand why they're waiting a full year to release, you know, MLG 2.0. Like, where's MLG 1.1, 1.2, 1.3?
I mean, once they commit to those events, you guys, I'm sure IPL now knows how difficult it is to throw an event.
Yeah.
You know, logistically to basically do six, it's a tough thing. I mean, I give those guys a lot of credit because, you know, I talked to the guy who's in charge of unloading and loading that stuff. And I'm like, dude, there's no amount of money you could pay to take your job, man. Like, there's none. It's got to be a ridiculous task. I mean, imagine six times a year playing fucking Tetris in four trucks with, a shitload of broken down equipment. That shit would make me go insane. But I'm really impressed with what they do. So I give them a lot of credit. I think for me, the big thing is I really want to see what they have in store for 2012.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I can sit there and complain about the little things as a player, from the player perspective, but MLG puts on phenomenal events, and they always have. So based on what you said, just consistent, great events, and they always do. So I really enjoy that, and, you know, if they're going to be the leader in regards to that, then I think we expect them to make these little changes in a much more timely fashion.
Absolutely.
The fact that they don't is just a little bit strange.
I have the utmost faith that they're going to blow things out of the water in 2012, and I can see Greg's points about, you know, it'd be kind of cool if they're implementing a few different things this year. Obviously, we don't know their budget, and logistically speaking, it's safer to assume that from a business perspective, they're looking at it as we can get by without doing those things, so let's do that so that we can unveil more cool shit for 2012 and have the boom factor with it, right? So that people can be like, oh my god, they're doing so many awesome stuff. And that's what they're going to do. And I'm excited about that, and I have faith, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm proud that MLG is the tournament that, you know, it's the pride and joy right now of North America, and I think it's a good show to go to, so I'm excited about that. My concern, and this is kind of a prickly subject because it's not like it's possible to give everyone's perspective on this, but I would be really upset if in 2012 MLGs, which are mapped out way, way, way in advance, continue to overlap with other events on a regular basis. I think that would be really, really bad. Because the pub, and here's the thing, if MLG was outspoken about, like, no, we're in competition with everybody, we're trying to be the number one and only tournament in the world, then I understand, but the public image is that MLG is like this really friendly, get along with everybody tournament that, you know, everyone's in it together and it's going to be awesome and fun, but people are having to choose between events, and MLG is always the bigger one, so they're kind of shouldering out other events. And if that's the business model, like I said, that's completely fine. But I'd be really upset if in 2012 we're put in a weird place where not everybody can go to MLG because we have sponsor obligations to go to an IEM event or vice versa. And I think that kind of sucks.
You know, this has been a problem since the beginning of time as far as esports is concerned. And I just, like, I think that even after the one or two occurrences that happened this year amongst the various events, that no one really wants it to happen ever. But, you know, I think that no matter what, historically, over the last 6 or 7 years, there's always been some kind of a conflict.
I mean, I know conflicts are inevitably going to happen. I guess I would just be a little bit critical of the fact that in 2011, it wasn't one or two events. It was four or five, and they were big ones. And they are avoidable, is the thing. If you know, they set up their venues way in advance, more so than other events, I would say. And if they reached out to this organization and said, when are you doing on this weekend? We'll do it on, you know, or whatever. Let's work together on it. Because even if you're in competition, it helps nobody for you to lose fan base, right?
Yeah, it does.
It actually just hurts the entire scene. It's not like it just hurts MLG short
of choking other people out.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not actively doing that. They do schedule way ahead, and it's just unfortunate.
And I hope people aren't taking me like I'm not trying to say MLG does this maliciously. I really don't think they do. But I don't think they do it graciously, I guess. And maybe that's not in their prerogative, and I'm being overly sensitive on the subject. So that very well could be true. And like we said, it's been going on for years. It's not just MLG. Other events step on other events' toes all the time. So... I think this is just one of those problems that when you're the best tournament in the whole frickin' continent, like MLG is, you're going to get criticized for those kind of things and called out on it a little bit, and I think that's just one of them.
Word. Let's talk a little bit about the competition. Huck, your teammate, big win for EG. How's it feel? I asked you guys and DeMuslim kind of how it felt when Greg won China. So how's it feel to have new teammate win an MLG event and a big one at that?
I'm jealous. He has this aura, makes people he's playing do stupid shit. So I don't know. I wish I could do that.
Oh shit!
Birds of a different feather, though, Greg. Huck's group, your group, very different.
Marine King, zero bunkers versus a known 7 Gator.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying. You got lucky in another way, too.
And I beat Bomber.
You did.
Which was fucking awesome, by the way. Dude.
But to your question, it's amazing. I don't know if Alex wants me to say this, but I think one of the coolest moments for me was seeing him get a little bit teary-eyed. Boom, I did it. Destroyed his credit. But still, it's just a huge moment for EG. I think at this point, MLG Orlando is the toughest pool of players outside of GSL. And I'm going to get like 5,000 people to yell at me, but maybe even Code A. Maybe it's harder than Code A.
It might actually be, to be honest.
I'm starting to think so, actually.
Yeah, you could very well be right on that.
The excuse that foreigners aren't nearly as good as all the Code A players, I think, is starting... I think it's pretty easy we can put that to rest, right? And then the level of Code S players that were at that event are higher than, I would say, most of the Code A top-tier players. So... to win a field like that is amazing. It's the third out of four events since Slasher said that he would shave his head when a foreigner won.
Boom!
So he's like literally could not be more... I mean, he could be more wrong. It could be four out of four.
No, he really fucked up, man. He was like, oh my god. Man, October's gonna be so tough for the four...
I'm surprised he didn't make any other commitments other than just the head shaving.
You could say,
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Slasher fucked up.
I thought New York was going to come through as well, because fucking Gator beat Dong Regu 3-0 top,
I know.
And I was like, oh my god, it's going to happen, but fell just a little bit short.
I know.
Thank god, though. It's like, Gatored one,
You would kill yourself?
Probably.
You would. I think you would.
I've
casted with you, casting Gatored, and I'm pretty sure, Greg, I know for a fact you would at least cut yourself. There would at least be some flesh cut. No,
Gator's
no.
Pretty grimy.
Like, oh my god, Gator, what I am. No, I know. It's okay, though.
He'll sneak a pile under two in your main.
It's okay.
Go for a 5 gate.
Nothing wrong with that. No, but competition wise, in Huck winning that, like, it's just, I got even teary eyed, man. I'm just so proud. It was so awesome. It's big for foreigners, man. First time, two-time MLG winner. Goes up against some of the best and beats them, you know. And both Greg and Huck had, like, a ridiculous 3 or 4 Korean path in their way to the top 4. And I remember just 2 or 3 MLGs ago, we'd look at that and be like, well, congrats on 7th or 8th place. You did really good, you know. Now, with Huck winning and Greg launching up there in the top 4, I think foreigners can look at these tournaments and say, I got a shot. We can do it. Let's get up there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but Koreans all of a sudden seem much more reachable. Like, Bomber is still a really great player. I think he's probably the 3rd best player in the world, and he's really, really hard to beat. I have a lot of respect for him, but it didn't feel like he was untouchable, obviously. And then Hongun, I've always known Hongun was bad, but he was, like, worse than a second-tier foreigner, or it felt like that playing him. So I don't know if it's a change in us, or can't imagine it's a change in them. But
is it surprising to you?
Very much so. Like, they should be pulling away from us. They are still practicing more better than we are, especially as a whole. I don't understand it. But it definitely feels that way. It may just be a mental thing. Like, maybe I had too much respect for Koreans and it was holding me back before, and I kind of broke that. I think that's a possibility for me personally. But I don't know about everyone else, because we have other foreigners winning now, too.
Interesting.
It certainly shows that they're attainable.
There's metagame stuff that moves around, and I think the earlier the metagame effect happens, the more volatile a Korean result is, in my opinion. They're really good at mastering strats and perfecting it, but I don't necessarily know that I would call... I mean, of course, Koreans are the best at StarCraft in every regard, for the most part, but I think they lack a little bit in terms of adapting to new play. Bomber, only one MLG ago, would do a proxy bunker rush into Banshee every single game, and he looked absolutely invincible against Zerg. It was kind of funny how gross he made it look. And then in this tournament, he could not have been more straight up if he tried. It was like the most straight up TVZ play you've ever seen. So for him to flip like that in a clean 180 is pretty amazing. And then there's the emergence of MC too, playing exactly the same way he did 6 months ago.
Stuff like that kind of gets figured out too, though. People like figure it out, you know? Kind of like, if you showcase a new type of build, even like the Slayers build at MLG, like, yeah, Greg got caught with it a couple times, but once he figured those timings out, it's so much easier to hold stuff like that off. Kind of like, you use it once or twice or 3 times, but then eventually you have to be able to fall back to a standard base.
Yep. Pretty cool.
I don't know, I think the foreigners are not necessarily... I agree with you, Jeff. I think we're no less intelligent, and especially when it comes to creating builds and whatnot. I think... I know a lot of creative players around here who come up with some really cool stuff. It's just... the one thing we really lack is that super high-level practice environment where we can really test that kind of stuff out and see if it works against a super solid macro player.
Yeah, I think foreigners are more creative, but in terms of build orders, new stuff generally tends to favor the Koreans, I think, just because you have that environment over in Korea where everything gets really refined and everyone's trying to figure out the new easy win build. And if something pops up, they're going to know about it and they're going to have it much cleaner than we do. But nothing like that really happened this time. At least all the turns I was playing, they played really straight up. Marine King, Bomber, Boxer. Boxer did generic cheese in some of the games, but it was nothing like the Blue Hellion build last time or some of Bomber's builds. So it was just kind of like, okay, well, I've seen this before, and I'm capable of outplaying them, and I don't have any kind of disadvantage, and we just go into the game and we play. So, yeah. I think I agreed with what you guys just said. I kind of blanked out.
I wanna ask you, Greg, about probably my favorite game of the entire competition that you played. Do you want to take a guess which one it was?
It should be Shakuris vs. Bomber, but it was probably Madel vs. Bomber.
What? No, Shakuris. No. What did you say?
Metal.
No.
Oh, Dual Sight vs. Boxer.
Is that the Nidus? When did you know this?
Oh, that was versus Hongan on Tal'Darn.
Yeah, that was by far my favorite game.
So I found out afterwards that he could actually have vision, because normally what happens is you run in with the Overlord, you see if he has anything scouting that area. If he does, then you have to drop the knights outside their wall first and hit that with Hydras to distract them. But I scouted it and he had a pylon like just barely in range, like you could just see a fraction of it. So like I should have lost. He could see it and they just didn't.
You mean the second one that you did on the west?
No,
right?
The first one? He had a pylon behind his mirror line, like flush to it, that could just barely see it, and I didn't see the pylon,
no
so I dropped it. Didn't react. So.
Well, either way, it was freaking. It was nice to see. I like that.
I really like the game between you and Bomber on Metal.
I like the Shakuris one better. I thought I was dead, and then I just barely held, and then turned it around.
That was
good. I was worried for Gray against Hongan, because he's talked about how much of a shit player he is so openly. And I was like, does anyone realize?
Soccer all in. Like,
I know. I was worried.
I was disappointed.
The series went fairly well for you.
It was kind of okay.
Oh, God.
I was just saying.
Okay, any... any players that surprised you that you guys saw?
Dase kicked my ass and then went on to do really well. So,
how bad did he kick your ass?
He 2-0'd me. I lost to him and Artis in the loser's round.
And what was it about Sase?
He's got really good micro, man. Yeah, he's good. His micro is insane.
His unit control is pretty insane.
Yeah, his unit control is nuts.
His decision-making in longer games is a little bit iffy. He's definitely a Warcraft player, but you get him in a situation where he's comfortable, where it comes down to control, he's sick good.
Yeah, and that's kind of how he... You know, fixated me one game with like really good stalker control and good force skills. But it's pretty impressive.
It's cool.
Yeah, you're a Protoss player, Jeff. What's your thought?
He's a phenomenal player. He's just good. And I like how serious he takes the game. He's in Korea working his ass off. When you watch him play, he would be one of the players I'd want to show to someone that's not familiar with StarCraft, because it looks like he's playing a sport when he plays StarCraft. He uses an absolute tiny mouse. The sensitivity is all the way down, so it's like really slow. So he's really jerky and herky about it, but he's moving super fast. And
he actually looks painful to watch him play.
Yeah, yeah. When I was about to play him and I saw him warming up, I was like, what is going on? I actually had to grab the entire desk and pull it towards me 3 inches because my side of the desk was like vibrating back and forth. Jesus, man.
I wonder if there's a video of that out there.
And he embodies the strength of Protoss in the sense, too, that he's capable of any strategy. When you watch him play, you don't really get the ability to say, well, here's exactly what he does, and he does it every time. He can do really weird timings. He can do really strong, straight-up macro play. He can take series off of anyone. He beat Bomber, for God's sakes. He had a great series with Sheth. Sheth is his EVP specialist. And he did really well against him, so I haven't heard him talk too much. I introduced myself to him in the booths, and I talked to him a little bit, and he seemed super mannered and was really nice.
He's kind of quiet, but really nice.
I tried to throw the Protoss pouty thing to him. I said, hey, welcome to the Protoss group of hell. And he said, I like a challenge. And I was like, oh,
good
fuck.
That's awesome.
Like, you're fucking awesome. I like it.
And I know that he's currently living in the GOM house right now, so I think that he was just very, like, it was kind of like being out of the asylum a little bit, from what I understand over there. So
the poor GOM house gets such a rap. Like,
dude, it's kind of deserved.
The stories that I hear, man, I'm like, bro, I feel for you. Like,
yeah.
You know, put your head right here on the shoulder, man, and just cry away.
I've
it's all good, man. It's
too.
All good.
Some downtime in between our games, I was like, because the soundproof headphones they have, they like their vices on your head. They squeeze your skull in. Probably partly to do with the fact that my head's gigantic.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not like that for else, Jeff.
So I was like, I was kind of just offhand like, man, these things are kind of like vices. And he's like, well, they really work. I wish I could steal it and take it back to the GOM house so I could finally enjoy my time there. And I was like, shit, you're like the 10th guy to say something like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's still there.
I've heard a lot of bad horror stories about the GOM house.
The fact that he's managed to stay there for, like, what, 3 or 4 months already? It's impressive dedication.
Yeah.
Well, good on him, man. So I wanted to ask Jeff, Prodos wins. In fact, we had, I saw a post on Reddit that was like, you know, GSL, TVT, IPL, ZVZ, MLG, PvP, Prodos wins. You know, does that make you feel good for your race?
It does. I came away from that MLG actually with an overall good feeling. I got to watch Huck play and MC play a lot of games. I sat down and trained with Hasu Ops for a while. I got to talk to White Raw. And it's definitely hard as a Protoss, but I think there's some really some glimmer of light and hope in the metagame for stuff to do. Like, I'm seeing some super strong everyone's been six gating, but the six gate is like, I gotta go kill him and make that work. But what's kind of happened now is people are six or seven or eight gating, and they're just sniping a third and then falling back home. And that's actually a really strong strategy that's going on right now.
They'll just show it and then take a third base. Huck's been doing that for a long time, but it's picking up in popularity. It's stupid powerful because you have to respect the 6 to 8 gate because it's so strong. And they just put down a third nexus.
It feels a lot like the sharking stuff that used to go on a while ago where you'd 3-gate expand, so you'd be intimidating the Zerg with your sentries at, like, the 10-minute mark. Now you're doing it at, like, the 15-12-minute mark, but it still has the same effect. The Zerg's drone count is a little bit more under control. And if they don't, if the Zerg's being lazy and not scouting or being too greedy, Rhett, you get to go kill them. So, I like it. I'm really excited. Like, I went back home and I sat down. Like, sweet, I get, you know, some stuff to work on. And Huck's been helped me out. He's gonna help me out some more. It's a good time.
They do similar stuff against Terran now too. The quick third neck just after like 6-7 gates. Pretty good.
I did get 1-1-1 by Pult. And
ooh, ouch!
It was a close
surprising.
It was very
shocking.
Close. I did have. I had the feeling in my stomach. I was like, I envision myself going all red, flipping the table over, and like stabbing him with the chair leg over and over again. Like,
that's exactly how it went down, to a T.
The 1-1-1 is still pretty messed up. I think I don't necessarily know that it needs to like game design level need to be patched or something like that. But right now, Protoss players are pretty.
I don't know. I think it looks so scary watching that happen from a Protoss perspective.
Up, yeah.
I don't know.
Because, like, all the Marines are, like, burning up and everything's frying, and you're like, I'm going to win! And then 3 Banshees. Brr, 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 and you're like, oh, fuck, I have no Stalkers. And then you realize you're dead.
Yeah, if you can focus fire down the Stalkers and keep, like, 4 Banshees alive, then even if they warp in a round of Stalkers off, like, 4 gateways, it doesn't matter. Oh, I remember what it was. They turn into blue goo instantly.
Blue goo.
The DPS on 4 Banshees.
But it's good.
It sucks still, huh?
I mean, it's tough to hold off. I've like it. Basically, it forces the game into like a very tight balance of scales towards the end. I mean, it's just a 100% all in. It's gonna go one way or the other. You have a pretty good chance to win. I definitely say it gives the Terran like over a 50% chance. You're just rolling. Never really attached. And it comes down to control and practice. And if you've practiced it like a bunch, your odds of winning against Toss in a 1-1-1 situation just go up even more.
Well, I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it might have been Huck, but there's this hilarious universal agreement between Terran players that you don't 1-1-1 on the ladder. You don't show it. You never use it. You just busted out at tournaments, so every Protoss player like has. They've only faced it like 7 times. Terran
How
players
is that
are like,
possible?
No, actually, I couldn't believe that.
It's actually kind of true.
It's actually true.
I only 1-1-1 with like practice partners that I trust in custom games. I have it down really well, and I never use it on ladder ever.
Why?
That's just because it's like so damn good.
It's not like it takes a lot of practice to execute.
Yeah,
but it takes a lot more to become familiar with how to defend it.
I could see the Terran calls the Terran players of the world on a Skype call, and they're like, gentlemen, I think I've discovered something. What is it, Masterport? If you just don't expand, and you keep dropping mules and making things off of every single infrastructural building you can, Rodos just simply dies. And then they're all like, what should we do with it? It's important
to hide it.
Don't let Rodos know until it's too late.
Like stroking his white old cat.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, the 111.
Stole Bjorn's puppy dog and pets it.
I feel like one day on YouTube I'm going to read a documentary that's like, fact, Terran players have met at these following events during these times and discussed this build. Fact, there is a Skype channel dedicated to the Terran players keeping the 111 build from Zerg and Protoss players. Fact, Pain User is the leader. And it's like, oh, well, now I know it's fake.
I knew that bullshit about DTs and Banshees was too wanky.
It's actually Drooby. Alright.
Drooby the mastermind.
Then it turns out that it's actually Leah Jackson.
It's actually just her puppet.
In fact!
Seems like, and she like jumps into this very tiny Leah-sized helicopter and goes, you'll never catch me! Like flies away. Turns out the little helicopter is fucking Banshee, though, so you think she's trying to get away, but then she turns around and kills everything.
The Dr. Robotnik Banshee.
Oh, shit. That's really funny. I think that's actually... I wanted to open the phones a little bit, but we've gone way, way over time. And there was enough to talk about. Well... I mean, I kind of got to go, but I guess we could take a couple calls. All right, we'll go until for another 15 minutes.
The shows you're going to watch, you're pirating, okay?
We're going to go to... That's so not true. Terra Nova's on tonight, man. And the only reason that I had to torrent the last episode of Terra Nova is because fucking baseball was still on when it tried to record. So, okay, it was justified... Torrenting, okay? I was downloading a backup of something that was already on my DVR, okay, Jeff? Okay?
Right.
Are we okay, man? You going to call the FBI on me?
You got it. You good? Right.
Let's do it. 15 minutes.
How about that Walking Dead Season 2, huh?
Nobody? Dude, they did some great stuff.
Can we talk about StarCraft, please?
All right, let's take our first caller here. We got area code 760. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Well, hold on. I cannot hear you. You are so quiet.
He said he's calling from Canada.
That's why.
Oh, Canadian.
They don't have internet up there.
They just got quiet. Is that what you're
talking about?
You need to turn yourself up a little bit more. What? You're on a telephone. Like, how could this be possible?
Oh, no, I'm calling from Google.
Oh, that's why.
In Google.
Well, we can barely hear you. Go ahead. Try.
Okay. Is this better?
Oh, just try.
Go ahead, just say, I will translate to you like you're speaking in another language. Go.
Oh, okay. So, I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I'm wondering, you know how Sundance tweeted that MLG might come to Toronto, Canada? What do you think, or possibly, everyone there, and if I could possibly get views from Puck as well?
And you, what?
MLG Canada, is that what you're saying?
Let's break this down. First off, he asked about the tweet that Sundance said about going to Canada. Second of all, he said that he would like to hear Huck's thoughts as well, which leads me to believe that he doesn't think the opinions of the three pro players we already have on this panel are good enough.
No, I asked you already what everyone else thinks.
I can give Huck's opinion real quick.
And Huck's thoughts as well. No, I'm just playing.
Huck thinks it's going to be a great event. Really good players, really good atmosphere, some of the best gosh darn StarCraft competition you've ever seen in the whole Canada. I mean, if gosh darn it, Queen and Country, you know what I mean? Like, Canada's going to have one of the best events I think ever imaginable.
Sounds like Sarah Palin.
If you can, if you can imagine how they do it down there in America land, you can think Canada's only going to do it better.
Hold on. Caller, say something. What was that?
I asked what your opinions were in control of IDOs and pin users and Yorick loops about how you guys would handle going to Canada and if it'd be beneficial for you guys.
Oh, how we would handle going to Canada. I've been to Canada one time.
We'd go to the
twice,
airport,
actually.
And we'd get on a plane and go up in the air for a while. And when it lands, we'd be in Canada.
Well, yeah. One thing's for sure, there'll be a whole lot more a-holes.
All right, In Control, you are so Jeff, we cannot wait to go to Canada, caller. Thank you for your call. We can't wait. We hope that Canada happens, man. We do not. The opinions expressed on the show are just In Control's. I only take the good ones. So just for the record, I totally agree though. All right, next caller. We got Eric on the line. Eric, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Why does everyone sound so quiet?
He's even quieter.
I've got this shit turned up all the way. It is turned up all the freaking way.
I could hear that guy for part of it. Not this one, the one before.
I can't hear this guy at all, man. I can't hear this guy at all. Well, I hear you a little bit better, but I still wonder if it's something on my end.
Maybe he's from Canada, too.
Are you from Canada, Eric? Eric is not from Canada, so... All right, I'll tell you what, Eric, call me back, okay? Call me back. Okay. Guys, I'm going to have to do the Skype test call. She always knows, guys. She's the all-knowing, man. She will tell us if something is fucked up on my side. It does.
Hello, welcome to Skype call testing
service. Welcome to Skype call.
Please record a message.
Currently, your Skype call message is shit.
Oh, I figured it out. I figured out what the problem was, guys. So, see, I told this bitch always figures it out, man. She always figures it out. Gotta try it one more time, dude. She's smart, man. Every time she hooks me up.
Bet she does hook you up.
Hey, listen now. Mm. So, okay.
Giving her more than just a couple rings, huh? You know what I mean?
All right, thanks, buddy. There we go. Success. All right, we'll take... Wait, who was that? That was Eric. Eric, sorry about that. I fixed your problems from here. What's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, good.
We can't hear
him. A bit of
what?
Background first.
Oh, it's the same as it used to be. You didn't fix it for us.
Sorry. Hold on. They can't hear you.
Okay.
I mean, you can just be ultimate translator dude again.
There you go. I got it. What's up?
I'm a grandmaster player in Europe, so I've been doing pretty well in like online tournaments and stuff, and lately I've been taking the game a bit more seriously, like trying to sort of get to the next level. So I'm basically wondering what you guys think are the most important like out of game stuff that you can do. Like, I know a lot of people work out, and how important do you think it is to like eat right, and how many hours you sleep and stuff like that?
I mean, I think you just said a majority of it. Obvious stuff. Take care of yourself, work out, eat well, get as much sleep as you can at events. I mean, just all the obvious logical things you could do to give yourself an advantage.
Okay.
I don't know of anything like super special. I mean, I guess have like a 5-hour energy or something before a really important match.
That shit's scary. Yeah. And no, a monster.
A monster, if you will, before a big match. You know, whatever works for you. Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Have friends sneak food into MLG events for you. It's a must.
Okay. Just one more question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Just for Idra. I saw in the GSL, few weeks ago, maybe Nasty did some build against Terran where he got like four queens basically as fast as you can, and delayed gas like quite a lot, and I've been working on like my own version of it quite a lot since. Like, what do you think about it, and do you think it's viable?
He did it on Tal'Darim, which was pretty bad. You need to... It's good on maps with tighter... It's good on maps with tighter chokes.
Yeah, that's true. I saw him do it on Terminus, actually. I haven't seen the game on Tal'Darim, but yeah, I don't do it on Tal'Darim because you just can't defend if they run by with aliens.
Yeah.
Did you say you're Snoot, by the way?
No, I'm not.
Oh, damn it. Stream chat trolling me. I apologize.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's okay on maps with tight chokes. You can use that to block the aliens, but I'd rather just get a spine crawler and a third queen. It delays your gas quite a while, and if you don't get that lair tech out, you usually can't take a third base. Terminus is a different situation, because you can take it behind the one choke.
Okay.
It's okay. It's not great.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's
Thank you, Eric. Have a good one, man.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to rate that as good after I fixed it. Well done, well done. Let's take this call right here. We got area code 480 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Pain user, what do you think?
That sounds awesome.
Okay. Idra?
What do you think about that?
Idra?
Huh?
What, his question.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent.
Okay. Greg, any comment on that? Or Jeff, any comment on that?
You know, no.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it. It was a good call. Enlightening. Yeah. We got Austin on the line now. Austin, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
I was just wondering if you could change one mechanic of a race. What mechanic would it be? Like for Protoss, Warp Gate tech, or Larva Inject for Zerg, or Protoss being so dependent on force fields.
Well,
what do you mean by change?
First off, I would make force fields very teacup size, about the size of your pinky in the actual game size.
I would let Zealots cast force fields, to be honest with you.
Larva Inject would just spray green crap all over the Zerg base, and then the queen would explode. Wouldn't really do anything.
Caller, in all seriousness, I'm not sure exactly, like, what do you mean as far as mechanic? As far as, like, what you would change? Like, remove from the
like
game?
Like, from a game development standpoint?
Like from, like, a game design. Development standpoint. Like, how you would redesign the game to better balance it, I guess.
Can I be honest with you for a second?
Yes, sir.
I feel like Chrono Boost should be able to stack and affect units. So imagine for one moment, seven or nine Nexi, and then I need to produce like four or five Colossus. Boom, Chrono Boost them out. They stack. Takes about 2.5 seconds. I then Chrono Boost the Colossus. It walks like the Grudge Lady.
we're gonna give it a speed upgrade as well. Caller, I think it's impossible to say.
All right, well, amazing answers, and I'm a big fan of you, Idra. Thanks.
Yeah, buddy.
He was an Idra fan.
Thanks, Austin. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Greg is unamused.
I said thank you.
I'm your fan. He's like,
all right. Next caller,
I said thank you.
Edifana, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Can you hear me, guys?
Wonderfully.
You can be heard.
Oh, my fucking God. I never thought I was going to come up on the show.
I hope you're ready, then.
Yeah,
I don't want you to be that guy that looks like a jackass because he's not ready. I know you're going to come through for us.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, I'm a big fan of In Control. You're my favorite player, and I got a question for you. Is it okay?
Sure, man.
I just come on the show. I didn't even know the Inside was game was on, so I was gonna ask how was MLG for you? I didn't see it because I was working the whole weekend, and I saw you got knocked out. Can you just tell me a little bit about it?
I got knocked out, kicked on, punched, pooped on just a little bit, and then they gave me a wet willy. I enjoyed MLG. I learned a lot. The competition was great. I thought I played fairly well, but I got my ass handed to me, so. Looking to improve upon that.
Yeah, I was really sad when I heard that you got knocked out because I was really hoping for you to do like in Dallas when you come back fifth or fourth or something. So I was really hoping for you, man.
Fifth or fourth against this pool would be pretty ridiculous. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate the support.
Yeah, and grats, Hydra. And thank guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There it is.
From Sweden. Let's take this guy right here. Got Barry on the line. Barry, welcome to Inside the Game. Barry. Fucking Barry.
Why were you already laughing before?
You're killing
me. You're not thinking him very well tonight.
God.
You know what? Greg, you're right. I do.
Barry. This is all weed.
Hello, Barry.
Yeah, what's up?
Yo, what's up?
There it is.
What's up? I didn't realize you're on a 36.
Barry's like,
good,
what the
man.
Fuck do you guys want?
Wait, I was in the middle of a bong rip, man. Fuck. What's up, Barry?
I was just wondering why you guys thought, like, with the ghosts changing the patch and stuff, we usually see a lot more ghosts in War Prisms when they get changed. Why do you think it is that we haven't been seeing a lot more Ultras in Zerg's play?
Because they're still not very good.
I still think I've seen more after the change. Not like a ton. I mean, did you make any all tournament?
Yeah, I used them to embarrass True B, and I think I might have made him one game versus Boxer.
Okay.
They're better. They're just not as much better as Ghosts and Warp Prisms got.
Warp Prisms were definitely like star of the show in a lot of the matches I watched. Holy shit. Some great stuff.
Is it just because you don't think there's a lot to experiment with as far as Ultras go? Do you
play
think they
fucking
need more,
die.
Like, utility?
If your opponent has portals or ultras or zealots, or
they have natural hard counters. They're like, they don't have the. In Brood War, if you like, 95% of my strategy in Brood War was to get really upgraded ultras as fast as possible, and you weren't prepared to handle them. That was the idea. But in StarCraft II, it's like, oh shit, he's got ultras. Make more marauders, or if you're Protoss, I guess I'll add more zealots to my composition. So they're kind of problematic that way, but that's not to say that you won't see them. They still have a place, I feel. But, I mean, Broodlords are just such... Broodlords have the ability... You can make 8 Broodlords and win almost any game, right? You can't make 8 Ultras and win almost any game. If anything, you can lose most games with 8 Ultras.
Alright, thank you, Barry. Have a good one. Yeah. Alright, we're going to take 2 more calls. I think by obligation I have to take this one. We have got none other...
motherfucking Lust.
Then Sir Scoots on the line. Sir Scoots, welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, shit, boys. I'll make it quick. Jeff, I'm bringing the sticks. I'm on my way to the house. You better get the dog out because you're going to get your ass kicked in Marvel tonight.
I can't
That's
believe
all I
you
got.
Did this on a show week for Scoots. Like,
I know. How unprofessional. What?
You want to hear the story?
What story?
Are you going to lie again? You going to embellish Sir again? Scoots. Not that you ever embellish. Go ahead.
Here's the proper American story, okay? So Sir Scoots welcomes his StarCraft II squad into his home, into his abode. We're obliged. We're having a good time. He's got an amazing pool of salt water, which is, like, better than chlorine.
True.
He's feeding us. It's this nice, beautiful house. Sir Scoots is a wonderful host. And then Sir Scoots is like, hey, guys, you guys want to play some Marvel vs. Capcom 3? And
I sound like Mickey Mouse.
Greg and Machine, and we're like, we've never played that game in our life. I think I've watched it once on a stream. Sure, let's give it a shot. And Sir Scoots has got his, like, bicycle gloves put on. He's got a hand around his head. He's sitting there. He's going, come on, Scott. Come on. Come on. You got this. They don't know what's coming. They've never seen the likes of you. You're going to smash on them. You're going to... It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. Starts playing. I selected a dog, Wesker, and someone else because he and I obliterated him. He won.
You
this is the kind of embellishment
him?
I'm talking about. We.
Nice.
I'm gonna have to go up there, put him in his place. He did beat me. I'll give him that.
I'll tell you what. If you want to make it, I think I'm gonna come out your way. For the EG
shit.
Masters Cup series, the finals, and I'll tell you what,
I'll
kick all your fucking asses, and then and then it'll be all good.
Discover that the dog character Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has a super where he hits like a wind chime and rainbow shit shoots out
yes.
of him, like arcing fire
yes.
type stuff.
If you pick Amy, I will fuck you up, dog.
Like, warrior. There's like fireworks shitting out everywhere, and it hits everything. How do you beat that?
What? You block? You fucking block? You actually just block?
I'll let you go.
It's really easy. It's called blocking. It's like all you do is you hit back on the stick. You know it's coming. You block it. Unless it's in a combo, then you're fucked. But that's pretty much the case with any super. I can't wait
to
play
lab,
you guys.
I got it dialed. I'm coming up there.
Okay.
Prepare, good luck, Jeff. Man. See you in a few guys. Peace.
All right. Later, Scoots.
Later, Scoots. All right. Well, by obligation, we have one more phone call that we have to take. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. For our last caller tonight, it is Goatlust. What's up, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not a whole lot.
What the fuck is up? Did you have, like, 2 weekends of insane StarCraft II watching?
Oh, fucking oath I did. Oh, just especially fucking that fucking IEM China. That was a fucking blast.
Yeah? Because that was, like, right on your time frame, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Because I didn't actually see all the MLG games. I missed quite a few, but yeah, I caught just about fucking everything of the China. So yeah, real good time zones for us. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Since over the past few weeks, Goatlust, you kind of have asked some questions towards Idra that could have been viewed as a little bit, I don't even know what the right word is. Idra, do you have a word maybe? I don't know. Just like...
disparaging?
Yeah, sure. That's a good word. So, do you have anything that you want to say to Idra since you watched IEM China so closely?
Well, I just want to say, yeah, he's really fucking stepped it up. This is the lack of radio silence, so to speak, that's come about. He's making some noise in the scene again. It's fucking excellent to see.
Awesome. I still like how it wasn't actually directed to you, Greg. It was just kind of like in general. No, I'm just. Anyway, what is up this week, Goatlust?
Greg's like God. You can't look directly at him or you'll blow up.
This is true.
One thing that's interested me is lately people have really attributed a lot of Huck's wins towards him being over in Korea. And people have been saying, oh, if Huck wins, it's really just a Korean winning anyway. But what I want to know is, how are you so good, Idra, like, against these Korean players when you haven't really been over there and you don't really play any off-the-wall sort of European style like some of those guys who are taking series? You just play straight up and you're winning, people say you need to be over in Korea to actually compete at that level. But, what's your secret?
I don't have one. I should be losing. I don't know. It's just like... the most talented RTS players in Korea aren't playing StarCraft II. Like, MVP is the only one who had any real level of skill.
Holy fuck! The Kraken! The Kraken
it's like she's reliving her birth moment
out of the rectum.
The rectal birth. She
came out.
Holy shit. It's like a chess person from the Alien movies.
Oh shit. Alright.
Oh man.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't know. Besides MVP and Nesty, none of the current StarCraft II players in Korea were particularly talented. So it's just like we have all of the best RTS talent from foreigners playing against like the second and third tier from Korea. You see Flash and J-Dunk switch over. No one's going to win without practicing on their level anyway. So I don't really know. I don't understand it.
Fauna found a way to win IPO. He hasn't been in Korea either.
That was part of the question. Like, don't play any gimmicky off-the-wall style. Like, yeah. Stefano makes too many roaches.
A lot of roaches, man. A lot of roaches. Yeah.
Just had to get a bit of European bashing in there, eh?
A little bit. No, I don't think that was...
I was saying Stefano has found a way to compete on that level. He just took home a 30.
Yeah, he does weird stuff.
You think?
We had a discussion, like...
I mean, you'd think that, I heard your opinion on it. I didn't really chime in. You'd think that Koreans would adapt to his weird shit. It's not like he's, like, small inning people.
That's why Boxer knocked him out.
Well, Boxer also knocked out a few other players that aren't weird.
Yeah. Right. Because he adapted phenomenally.
Boxer knocked out Sase.
He did indeed. I don't know. I don't feel like Stefano's style is very all-in-ish. I think it's definitely different.
It's not all-in, but it's gimmicky. It's weird. People weren't responding properly to it, so they got rolled. Someone responded to it, and it didn't go so well.
Or he had a bad break.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Exactly. He had a bad break in one tournament.
Greg's just, can we be honest? Greg's mostly jealous of Stefano's hair, so anything Greg says in regard to Stefano's
hair. And the scarf thing he wears around. I want one of those.
I woke up and Greg was like, he was like petting his, and he had like a pain look on his face each time he went past where his giant mane should be. He was like, if I was Stefano, I would feel the curls right now. He couldn't. Didn't feel them.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer, too. Because I'm going backwards from that as well on Friday.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not quite as big of a deal. Got it. A little bit sad to tack yourself onto that bet, to be honest with you, because everyone's going to care about Slasher shaving his head. You're just going to have to shave your head.
No one cares about me? Then I'll just not do it.
There. Boom. Nobody cares that I'm shaving my head?
Everyone, we'll just do it. I'll give it to Slasher. We'll just shave more.
Yeah, dude. Slasher totally wanted to turn that into, like, an epic, epic thing. It, like, there weren't enough people in the audience for him to shave his hair at IPO. He needs, like, a full-on auditorium. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's, like, trying to turn it into this epic, epic thing. It's like, dude, just shave your fucking head. Get it over with.
Interesting note, Slasher has actually already reached out and contacted Locks of Love. It's the charity of organization.
Is that for real?
You donate your hair.
Is this for real?
It's real.
No, I know it's real because my mom did it, but are you fucking serious that he did it?
They asked for a picture of him, and when he sent it in, they actually declined.
I knew it was coming. Fuck, I just let it come, dude. All right, Goatless, thanks so much for your call, dude. We got to wrap.
All right,
peace
catch
out.
Catch you later, mate.
Yep, bye. I always hate it when I, like, leave the caller on and we actually just kind of ignore him for 2 minutes. I'm sorry, Goatless. I didn't mean to do it. But anyway, how are you not in bed already?
You, like, already woke up again?
No,
it's pretty early morning.
I think it's just... What? No.
Well, Minnie, I said, what's up? It's good to finally...
Hey, Minnie, Pain User says, what's up?
Little kitty.
Minnie, Pain User said, what's up? Idris says, you better start playing more games. Or he'll disown you. All right.
I'll disown you.
What up, buddy? All right. Let's give our final shout-outs, guys. Thanks for calling. Sorry for those that we could not talk to tonight. But we actually went 30 minutes, 40 minutes longer than we should have. That's okay, Pain User. Kick us off.
Big shout-outs to my team, Check 6. Shout-outs to IGN. Thank you, everybody, for the comments about IPL 3. We worked real hard on it. IPL 4 is going to be coming up in Vegas. Going to be even better. Shout-out to Check 6 sponsors, TT Esports, Pure Track, Gamer Uniforms. And you can find me on Twitter at PainUser. Peace, motherfuckers. I'm going to go get some food.
All right. Awesome. Idra?
All our viewers and everyone who's been watching all these tournaments and supporting me and cheering for me and all that. And Team Evil Geniuses, all of our great sponsors, Intel SteelSeries, Monster, Kingston, Bigfoot Networks, Intel Extreme Boards, Beyond Gaming, some new ones, like a gaming-related social media site that's on the way up. They're a big new sponsor of us, and they're really cool. And also Split Reason. We got these new hoodies that Jeff's wearing right now. They are sick. They're just in time for
whoever's in charge. Thanks for whoever.
I was able to survive the frigid Orlando winds with.
Yeah, I was about to say just in time for all the winter events, and we just did in fucking Florida, so we're still okay there. And also the release of the Gracken shirt that Huck is nicely modeling for us in the background.
He is.
He can't hear me, so he can't do anything. And that's it.
I don't think the webcam would pick him up, too, unless you could pick it up and point it a little bit further down or something.
He is a small man.
It's a short joke.
It is a short joke.
Not my best. I'll go back to the drawing boards on that one.
Work on it a little bit. We'll try it out next week.
We're going to figure it out, yeah.
All right, well, you still get a shout-out, buddy.
Well, thank you. My team, Evil Geniuses, all the sponsors that Idra had mentioned, obviously. We got a... Well, I say we, but it's not Greg. We got a little bit of a gap, about a month, to train for Providence, and I'm going to be really excited to compete in the open bracket. Hopefully I can gain some confidence and maybe a few wins or two. And some other terms are coming up. Really looking forward to that as well. Just kind of, you can follow me on Twitter, EG in Control. I will be streaming. Last night I did a fun night with the fans, so hopefully people enjoyed that and can tune into future ones.
What is a fun night?
Well, Deezer was harassing me. He was joining every single game I was playing.
Okay.
He actually lost one of them while watching my stream, too. So I just decided to do a fun night with the fans, and I played some games with them. We did a free-for-all. I did a 4v4, and then I played some off-race games with them. It was a lot of fun. I think a lot of people really enjoyed it, so maybe I'll do a European edition in the next couple days. Puma is coming over, so there will be some Baneling nukes going on. And, yeah, I think that's about it. Just, you know, check out... One of the cool things, too, is that IPL and MLG, I saw a lot of EG jerseys. Support the team, man. I would love to go to MLG Providence and see a sea of EGs, and then we could do, like, this weird, like, lockstep thousand-man dance routine that's, like, this EG interpretive dance where everyone's, like, breaking it down and stuff. It'd be really cool. I could choreograph the entire thing.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I would really like to see that happen, please, sir.
It'd be amazing.
Please, for the love of God. I want to shout out to IEM, IPL, MLG, BlizzCon, fucking ESWC, whoever is throwing an event here over the next few weeks. It's going to be totally awesome. I'm really happy that this is sort of the wind down for the season because it's going to give everyone an opportunity to kind of like focus on some stuff and bring some kick-ass shit in 2012. We are going to have Huck on Live on 3 tomorrow, so I hope that you guys will tune into that. I know you guys got State of the Game tonight, right, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Oh, so yeah, that's in 2 hours.
Tune into that. Yeah, so you, JP could thank me later for promoting it since Jeff didn't. Dick.
What?
And I've never been asked to be on that show before, ever. Thanks. And I was the one that promoted.
Yeah. I'll do it. Boom. Yeah.
What?
What are you doing in 2 hours, Weed?
What? No, I... No. No.
No,
no, not tonight.
Doesn't
man.
Want it anymore.
Not tonight. I told you, man. I got some TV to catch up on.
Right.
Remember? And I gotta. I watch it with like one. Yeah.
Got some TV to catch up on.
Oh, you're so not. Anyway, for real though, check it out. As I'm sure you guys will have a lot to say about MLG as well. With that being said, guys, just thanks. This is my last week at work. So, 3 days and counting, bitches. That's really exciting. So, thank you to Twitch for giving me that opportunity. Shout out to all my peeps at One More Game. And with that being said, we'll see you tomorrow for Live on 3, where Slasher will only have 2 days left with all of his hair. Me too, but that doesn't matter. We'll see you next time, bitches. Peace.
Bye-bye.